So Sat Chit Ananda. What is Sat? Anyone know what Sat means? S-A-T? Truth? And in this idea of Sat Chit Ananda, we say it means pure being, just existence, like we are just alive. And this is we are being here in this moment in our true nature. It's the truth of our aliveness. Chit? Consciousness. Ananda? Bliss. So pure being, pure consciousness, pure bliss. That's our essential nature. You know, in the Upanishads, there's a story where one of the students says to his teacher, "Who am I?" It's a long story, I won't go into the whole detail right now, but in the end of this whole questioning, he finally comes to it himself, because the teacher says, "I don't know, go find out. Go, come back when you know." And he sends him upriver, and the yogi goes, and he's meditating, comes back, keeps asking the questions. Finally, he comes back, and he realizes his true nature. And he's from meditating, he comes to have this awareness that in meditation, just as we were doing right now, as our sense of hearing was on the bird song, you can, if somebody asked you in that moment, who are you in that moment? You'd say, well, I don't know. I don't know what you'd say. What would you say? What did you feel in that moment? If I told you that's who you are, when you were listening to the bird sound and all was quiet and all that happened was you and birds were singing, how did that make you feel? Peaceful? Pure beingness? Someone over here said something? What's that? You feel nature? I am nature. Yeah. So that's basically what they're saying. Sat Chit Ananda just means that. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. So I'm just going to say, well, I just feel like I'm just here, but I'm not really here, right? I'm just being. I'm just alive. I'm just breathing. I feel there's some sort of the perceptual nature. That's consciousness. I'm perceiving. I'm aware. I'm awake. There's a kind of radiance to that. And does it feel, you know, is it calm? Is it arousing? Is it pleasant or is it unpleasant? Ananda means it's pleasant. It's calm. It feels good. It feels good. And it's like waves of good feeling. So Sat Chit Ananda is in the transcendent or in the invisible, intangible, non-form, right? It's in essence. That's the essence of who we are. But it projects into universe, cosmos, world, nature, in its threefold aspect of air, fire, and water. Pure being, Sat, gives us prana, and Chit gives us tejas, and that's another teaching one day, prana, tejas, and Ananda gives us ojas. And prana, tejas, ojas are the prime vital essences that underlie life. Prana is the circulation, the life force that moves everywhere throughout the body. Tejas is all that is radiant, all that gives luster and light, temperature, and its digestion and metabolism. And ojas gives longevity, immune system, strength, solidity, etc. So I think of, you could think of a candle. Ojas is the wax. Tejas is the flame. And the movement of the flame and the glow of the flame is the prana. We talk a lot in yoga about prana, but really a good yoga class is seeking to cultivate your prana, your tejas, and your ojas. And we cultivate prana through the breathing and through the movement. We cultivate tejas through mantra, or through silence, or through the inner awareness. We cultivating silence, cultivating focus, cultivating concentration helps us cultivate. Have you ever left a yoga class? Have you ever gone into a yoga class, riled up, upset, confused, stuck with a decision that needs to be made but you don't know, just stuck, and you come out of the yoga class, wow, I have an answer. A light bulb went off somewhere in the middle of that class. And you walk out having a knowing, right? Has that ever happened? Yeah, that seems to happen to people a lot. That's because that class cultivated your tejas, yeah? I haven't gotten to ojas yet. So prana is the movement throughout the body. In Ayurveda, we would say prana is like physiology. It's everything that moves through the body. All the systems, circulatory, digestive, mental, neurological, and our breath. So we talk about it as the breath, but it's more than the breath. It's your life force that is circulating. The tejas is that which gives you the capacity to see, to digest, to metabolize, to concentrate, to perceive, to focus. It gives luster to the skin. It gives a brightness. And ojas is, it's like your wax. Ojas is your strength. It's your, it helps you feel grounded. It helps you embody your spirit. It gives you strength and stability, longevity and immunity. Okay? So we cultivate prana in a yoga class through breathing and through asana. We cultivate tejas through mantra, meditation, or dharana, any concentration practices. And we cultivate ojas through restorative, deep restorative practices, asana. We cultivate ojas through deep sleep, and we cultivate ojas through really good, nourishing foods that are properly digested. Okay? So, that being the case, in Ayurveda, we look at the imbalance of prana is vata, the imbalance of tejas is pitta, and the imbalance of ojas is kapha. If you have excess prana in relationship to the tejas and the ojas, you're moving all the time. And if that creates an imbalance, prana itself cannot be an imbalance, but the imbalanced experience of it is what we call vata. That's why when you take a test to learn your dosha, it'll say, oh, you're creative, you're innovative, you're moving all the time. That's because a vata person has a lot of prana. Vata is a dysfunction, it's an imbalance. The vata is not the creativity. The creativity is your prana. You have a lot of good prana. But the tendency is to imbalance, become restless, insomniac, have pain in the joints, not be able to, you know, settle down, get headaches, etc. That's when you've got some vata. Tejas is radiance, the imbalance is pitta, we relate that to fire. Too much fire in the system. It makes irritability, impatience, even anger, creates inflammation. And then the imbalance of ojas is kapha, where somebody's got so much wax and not much fire, right? And if you had a lot of wax in your system, frozen wax, let's say, hard wax, you'd feel stagnant, you'd feel heavy. Right? You might become lazy. You might become dull, slow. Okay. In the natural world, Sat Chit Ananda projects as air, fire, water. Right? What we call Vayu, Agni, Soma. And the ancient people, in the ancient times, in the times of the Upanishads, Upanishadic times, they used to do rituals where they would worship Vayu, father of Hanuman, Agni, the fire. They would have a fire ritual every night. Every single night, the community would gather around a fire, and they would chant mantras. And then they would do rituals to Soma, Soma as the moon or Soma as a river. Okay, Soma is the nectar of immortality, said to be. And that's in the Vedas. They chant to the nectar of immortality as Soma. Okay, so if you are Sat Chit Ananda, projected into the biological field as prana tejas ojas. And if prana tejas ojas imbalanced are vata pitta kapha, and if you study Ayurveda, you'll learn that vata's number one sensitivity or sense of the five senses is touch. Touch and hearing go together with the air or vata dosha. Sight, because it takes light to see, is pitta dosha, goes with pitta dosha. So vata people are very enlivened by touch. So massage is really essential for them. It helps really ground them. They're very attuned to sounds. They like music, and music makes them dance. Pitta sees. So with a pitta, tell a story and describe it. I was in a vast landscape. It was a blue sky. There were marching troops. I don't know. And give them a place to go, a visual. They can see and they can work towards. And then our kaphas like smell and taste, because that's taste is the water element. Now your kapha friends, you'll know their kapha because they're the ones who come in the house and the first thing they say is, what's cooking? Or what a beautiful aroma. Now why did I bring all that up? Coming back to the point, this is really the teaching for today, for Dharma. Because if you are Satchitananda, and if the five senses relate, you followed me through that journey of how the five senses relate to Satchitananda, Sat, through prana and vata, gives us touch as well as sound. Chit, through tejas and pitta, gives us sight. And Ananda, through ojas and kapha, gives us smell and taste. But if we take the three primary ones in the middle, just like we do with vata, pitta, kapha, air, fire, water, then we're talking about touch, sight, and taste. And if we're talking about that, we're saying that when you are touched, when you are seen, and when you feel connected, like you're either tasting life, or you feel like really hugged and held the way ojas would hold us, you feel alive. You feel in touch with your own Satchitananda. Why does love feel so great? Because it's the Ananda force. Why does it feel so good when someone says, you know, I think your mala is so beautiful. And I can see that that says something about who you are. You've got grace, you've got beauty, you've got an artistic sensibility. Does that ring true at all to you? Kind of, right? Don't hear it enough, so it's still new to maybe hear it, but you have those things. And I think it feels good to be recognized, right? So I see you. You're a person who cleans the house, takes good care of the things that are yours, makes a place for yourself and the other people you live with that is comfortable and beautiful and clean and tidy, and that's a beautiful thing that you do. And there's a part of you, your Satchitananda, that is saying, I want to be seen for that. As well as, I want to be helped with that. Right? So, Sat, we all seek to touch and to be touched. Right? It's like to inspire and be inspired. That's really what it is, because prana relates to breath. We want to inspire and we want to be inspired. Otherwise, we're dull and we're depressed. That's the opposite of that, right? To touch and to be touched. I mean, something is so touching. Like a story could be touching, right? It's not just physical touch. It's like, it could be emotional touch. But we're really enlivened by that, aren't we? Because the sat within us has been touched, has been known, has been accessed. And the chit is really the central one, because that really is the consciousness. That's the word that means consciousness. We all feel good when we are seen for who we truly are. And by that, I don't just mean, I really want you to see me because I'm grace personified. But it means I want you to see that I cook every single day for you and your children. I want you to see that. Or I do the laundry every single week. Like, we also want to be seen for the chores and the daily ordinary things. But because even that daily ordinary stuff is a part of the love that you are, right? You are that. You are loving, and the ways that you love yourself, your life, and your people is you do the laundry every week. That's a beautiful thing. That's a really beautiful thing. And that's where the karma and the dharma are together. So the karma is, okay, I say these things, and I'm creating this problem because he doesn't like to be talked to that way. There's a karma there. It's a repeating pattern. And it's not just a repeating pattern in you. This is what we talked about yesterday. It's a repeating pattern in the family. Most of our karma came from our family. Some of it visible, some of it invisible. Some of it's psychological patterning. Some of it's physical patterning, health issues, etc. Some of it comes out of the blue. And literally a couple years ago, I had a moment. I was like, oh my God, the same exact thing happened to my dad. I would never have believed that I would create the same exact situation at the same exact age. But, and then I'm like, wow, then if it happened to my dad, and how far back does this one go that we get to keep living? It's just patterns. And I think the sooner we say, oh, this is just a pattern, draw a pattern with your finger in the water and look at it and go, oh, that's what my karma is. You know, pull yourself out of being of the personal experience of it and say, oh, actually, patterns are kind of pretty. These are patterns. Look at these beautiful patterns. The patterns of these flowers. So it's just a pattern, and you have this pattern. And so then the question is, now what can we do with it? Because karma is nothing more than a pattern. And the original pattern is om. So, you know, you could just install om. The minute you're like, I am so busy today, I cannot do the laundry, I'm going to say something. Oh, wait a minute. How about if before I say something, I just go, Om? How about if I make myself do Om 11 times? Om, 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 Om. And then you go, do I need to say anything? A really beautiful place to get to with that would be, what if the laundry doesn't even get done? Yeah, see, so it's not that he should do it, it's not that you always do it, it's that you have something here around the laundry always has to be done, okay? So that's the thing to look at. Because the minute, it's fine to have patterns, it's good to have patterns, it's good to be healthy, it's good to be clean, it's good to do all these things. But like a teacher of mine said, the minute your dharma is associated with things like that, then what happens when you can't do it? What happens if you have an accident, you're in the hospital for 4 months, and nobody's able to do the laundry? Like, who are we when we can't do the things that we think we have to do? We have to still be somebody, right? Underneath the patterns of our life. And that's why you're going to do the Om. Because I hope for you that you can get so deep into this place of the Taurus, the big Om. What is Om? It's like you become the circular force of that vibration, right? And this is what the Taurus looks like. And so you are this all surrounding, it comes up your center, and that's all you are, and that's all that matters, and that's all it is. Then, can you do the laundry? Does that make sense? We all seek to be touched, seen, and the Ananda Ojas piece is really about we feel like we belong. I think a lot of North Americans don't belong to much. We're stripped of our cultural heritage. And I think that yoga gives us a sense of belonging. We belong again. And yet, there's this deep longing inside of all of us to belong, to feel that we belong. And why do we want to feel we belong? Because our source is oneness. And remember I said, you know, maybe the universe came as like a crystal or a heart that broke. Maybe it broke because it was so fantastically in love with all that is that it couldn't even contain itself. So it just broke into a million pieces. But those pieces are seeking to come back to the oneness that we know we once were. Right? We know we once were. And that's why we like yoga, because we feel integrated in ourselves. So now, at least with ourselves, we feel one. We may be able to access our soul or our spirit or this quiet inner part of ourselves that feels unlimited, unbounded, eternal, that has the same qualities that everyone else has, right? So that makes us feel a little bit more connected. But we all seek, and this is a really important thing, those of you who want to be yoga teachers, we all seek to be touched. It feels good to touch, to be touched, or to be inspired. We all feel good when we're seen, to be seen. So as a yoga teacher, I think that's a really important thing, is to be able to see, really see the students, really show that you get them. Yeah. And I think one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves is intimacy with ourselves. And that's a great intimacy, to really just feel what you're feeling and give yourself a hug for it. You know? But now we have a world where we can reclaim our power and find our voice. And so it's up to us to find the ways to do that, that come not from a millennia of conditioning, but that comes from the truth, the true nature. And that's in many ways what our Dharma is, right? That's what we're talking about today. So is there anything else from yesterday before we really dive into an exercise on Dharma? Anyone want to share any experiences or any questions? Okay, so let's go back into meditation. Let's close our eyes. And then bring your awareness to the words I am. Imagine the words in your mind's eye. That's a capital letter I, and then AM. Bring all your awareness now to the word am. And then shift your awareness to the capital letter I. And then take your awareness between, right in between I and am. And then keep moving your awareness right on through, letting the words float past you. Going into that gap between the words. Going in deeper and deeper. Until you find yourself just in this empty field of nothingness or no thing. And again, of course, when we close our eyes, there is a tendency for thoughts to arise. And so rather than making a decision or a judgment around that, allow yourself simply to notice that, as if we're noticing the mechanics of the mind. And then see if you can bring your awareness back to the gap. Almost noticing thoughts as clouds, and the gap as the sky itself. And noticing that you are able to choose. You're able to choose to let your attention go with the cloud, or to shift your awareness back to the sky itself. sometimes we can think of this or visualize this. It's as if your awareness, your mind now, awareness is in the gap, and the gap is really more vast and open, like a field or like an ocean. And thoughts are like waves on the ocean. So we can notice the wave. We can flow and go and move with the wave. Or we can shift our awareness back to the ocean itself. Just allow yourself now to notice. Noticing thoughts as they arise. Not forcing it, but just noticing. And then noticing your capacity to shift your awareness back to the sky or back to the ocean or back to the field of awareness itself. Bringing all your awareness back to the field of awareness. Noticing this field of awareness, I'd like to invite you just quietly to observe now the qualities. What are the qualities of this awareness? How does it make you feel? So this awareness that you are aware of now, this field of awareness, is what yogis call pure awareness, field of consciousness, the underlying ground of being. And this is your true nature. This field of awareness, this pure awareness, is your true nature. And it is the same true nature in all. This is where we are one. This is the ground of our being. This is our essence. And all thoughts arise, all perception. All arises from this field of awareness, this conscious beingness. Om Namo Gurudev Namo. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. Good. So, how many of you couldn't get to the field of awareness or stay in the gap? T- Too many thoughts. Lots of thoughts. In and out, okay. Yeah. Seeking the marker in the field of awareness. How many of you feel that you were able to at least access it, get a sense of it? Okay, good. Did anyone get a sense of what it feels like? Qualities? Okay.
I had a thought come in that was like my little warrior was like, no, we can do that.
Yeah, good.
And then I went back to like.
Good. Yeah. Right. So there you go.
Going back to yesterday.
Right. Right, so that's so great. So here's your karma, here's your dharma.
Yeah.
Here's your karma. Bunch of people trying to take from you, and actually taking from you. And then inside of that, that inner warrior realizes, A, it stakes a claim. That's what the karma did for you. It's made you stake a claim. And it made you stake a claim on your dharma. Because your dharma is you are free. You are expansive. You are generous. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to talk too much about Jyotish because it's not a teaching on that, but it does inform things and it gives us insights. And in Jyotish, the 12th house is called the Moksha house, meaning freedom. But it's also a house that relates to prisons, cages, hospitals, hospices, any confined space, as well as monasteries, ashrams, convents, any place that confines us and limits us, and limits us so much that there is no place to go but in. And then once we go in, we find the true nature, the true self, which is a liberated being, which is moksha. So you can see where the karma is you're in a cage and the dharma is you're free. It's beautiful. So who else felt something when you experienced pure awareness? What did you feel?
Feels vast and spacious.
Nice. Let's see. Okay, vast and spacious. Oh, good. Thank you. Anyone else felt vast and spacious? Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Nice. Anyone else see stars? I've never seen stars. Has anyone else? So this is the other thing, like, no one's right or wrong, right? Sandra goes in there and she sees stars. But someone else might see blue sky, or somebody sees the ocean, or somebody sees nothingness, or somebody sees a mountainscape. Anyone else want to share anything that you experienced? Yeah. An elephant eye.
An elephant eye, just like a big, huge elephant eye with huge eyelashes, just
great.
Elephant eye looking at me.
Great.
And then you said something, and then it was just all and I was like, whoa, elephant.
Beautiful. Ganesh. Shri Ganesha, Jay Ganesha. I know, we gotta celebrate Ganesh when he arrives. Hey, thanks for coming. That's beautiful. You know, the eye, of course, is the seer, the rishi, the great. That's what our consciousness is, right? So there you are, yourself looking at, witnessing awareness, and your brain gave you an image of it, and an image of what in India is the most regal of animals, the royal animal. That's beautiful. And so Sattva, so beautiful, the big eyes, and like you said, so beautiful. All right. So whether you were able to dip in or not, if your mind got you busy, whatever, those of you who had thoughts, did you at least get a sense of something, peace, something momentary? Some little taste in there?
And so
Mm. Yeah, talk about some issues around belonging. It's our spiritual path. It's the churning that we do as we do our spiritual work. As soon as we sit down to meditate, maybe not day one, but pretty soon, up comes stuff. Because now we're quiet, and all that stuff that's bubbling under the surface that's just calling out for attention. The only reason anything is inside of you is to become aware, is for you to become aware of it. That's the only reason, whether it's an emotion or anything. It's for your awareness to become aware of it. So the minute you're in the state of meditation, it's like, woo, here's my chance. Let me bring this to her awareness. Let me bring this to her attention. And the more that you're aware of things, including emotions, the more that they resolve and dissolve. Because what we're doing in our spiritual practice is we're turning. Yogananda said 98 or 9% of your spiritual practice is psychological. It's psychological work. We're healing the psyche. And the last 1 or 2% is like, finally. And then we start to feel free. And Shankaracharya, Adi Shankara was a great, lived about 1,000 years ago, and he was one of the great yogis, actually. And he sat and meditated, and he said, there is something beyond Satchitananda, Satchitananda. He would say, beyond Satchitananda, there's experiences that we can have through our meditation of absolute radiant truth, absolute radiant beauty, and absolute sweetness. But Satchitananda is the first place we get, he'd say. And then there's something beyond. There's like realms and realms beyond. It's so beautiful and so sweet. So I think if we go 98%, we're healing the psyche and the emotional wounds, and then we've got 1 or 2%, we finally taste the Satchitananda, we ground into that, and then we're off and running. Okay? So it makes sense. And I'm sorry that you've had all this in your life. Wow. But how strong and amazing you are, and how great that you know what to do and you've got the tools. Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, to me, there's such a dharma in there of, you know, finding belonging. One of the things that we actually say in Jyotish is when somebody has a mother issue in the chart, when the biological mother relationship is not strong, then we encourage people to develop a good, strong relationship with the Divine Mother, with Durga. And that's a really powerful, because Mother is Mother Earth and Mother Nature, Mother Flowers, Mother Food, Mother everything. So in that, you know, your karma may be all these kinds of mothers. Wow, you're like a PhD in what mothers are. You had a natural experience. So there's a dharma there, isn't there? There's a dharma in that with you. Okay, so Sandra is going to help us. And what we're going to do is we have just tasted Satchitananda. You just had an experience through pure awareness of who you truly are. You are pure awareness. That's your essence. And the yogis call that Satchitananda. Do you see why? You had an experience of pure being, consciousness, and bliss. In that state, you can go to that state. It's a great place to go when you're confused or when you need an answer, because chit is there. All the answers are there. If you have anything where you feel unresolved around, just go there. Just meditate. Close your eyes. I am. Go into the gap. Experience the gap. Ground yourself fully in it. And then ask the question, what should I do? And just wait. Wait until you get an answer. And if you don't get an answer, it's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's not because you're not good enough at the practice. It's because you're not ready right now to know. It's because you just need to wait. It hasn't yet unfolded. Things have to unfold in chronological order. So you can get a really strong intention that when I grow up, I'm going to do blank or blank or blank at 8. And then at 58, you do it. It had to chronologically unfold. It's in you now, but it's going to have to unfold over time. So when we think of Satchitananda, what are the qualities? So we've talked about, would you mind writing vast, expansive, free. At the bottom, if you turn that around and you see the Dharma side, at the bottom, and then we'll pass this around so everyone can read it. At the bottom, I wrote Sat Chit Ananda. So under Sat, truth or pure being, what are the experiences of that when you feel in touch with your pure being? What do you feel like? Cole? Calm. Yeah, do you mind writing that under the column sat? Whole, calm, satiated, S-A-T-I-A-T-E-D. Does anybody feel peace? Just peace. Peace would be another way I would describe sat. Weightless. Free. I think free was a good one. Expansive. Light. Anyone else?
Buoyant.
Buoyant. How about pure? Anyone feel? Like when I say pure, like even innocent. Or if you said the opposite of that, like when you're in that state of pure awareness, you're just aware of awareness itself. Is there a problem? Is there something wrong? Is there something you could blame? Is there a mistake? Right? It's like flawless, right? It's a place that doesn't have flaws. So we could call that pure. Okay. I think we've run out of space, so we'll move on to chit. So when you're in the state of pure awareness, I mean, you can just go there right now. You can do it with your eyes open. What should I do with my life? Just ask yourself that. Who am I? What should I do with my life? What, even if you don't get a word, what does it feel like? What happens when you ask that question and you're in that state? We did this yesterday when we were looking into karma. You guys got answers, right? Your inner field of awareness is all-knowing. And so you ask it a question and it will go, oh. Like it could give you everything. But instead, you've asked a question, so you've directed it. And so it says, oh, yellow sunflowers, right? Did anybody get anything? Any information? Yeah. Yeah. Question is like a focus. Great. Anybody get anything? What'd you get?
Be there for others.
Be there for others. That's so nice. So often we think our dharma, oh, once I get my dharma, I'm going to have to go home. I'm going to have to write a resume. I might have to go back to school. I'm going to have to do all this work, spend all this money, get all dressed up, go interview. Shake the world. You know, it's going to be like work. It's not work. Be there for others. You're right here. You're right now being here for us. You're right now in your dharma. It's not tomorrow. It's not work. Right? It's this moment. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Did anyone else get that? Like, you're doing it. Or don't worry about it. Or it's coming. Did anyone get things like that? Like something reassuring?
I would love for you to have said, don't worry about it. But it didn't say you're doing it.
And that's the Ananda one. We get there next. Michael? Follow your heart. You got that? Do you know what that is? You know what that is? Okay. Good. I mean, we want it to tell us things that we know what it means. You know what I mean? Like, if it told me, follow your heart, I'd be like, well, what's in my head? But you know, right? So it was a clear message for you. Good. So when you go into this field of awareness, pure awareness, which is your essence, it's so amazing that we go outside ourselves. This is what yoga is always telling us. Go in, go in, go in. Everything you need, it's all right there. And yet we're chasing things outside of ourselves. You know, we call up, what do you think I should do? Right? We book the session with so-and-so. We look at, we're all, and yet, how long did we do that? We did that for maybe 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And you got that message. This one that we just did for less than a minute. And you got the message, follow your heart. You got the message, you're doing it. Right? Sandra got a message. Did anyone else get any messages, even if you don't want to tell us what it is? Okay, we're going to do it again. So sat chit. Chit is intelligence. It's consciousness. It's perception. It's wisdom. It's knowledge. It's answers. It's light. It's radiance. Sat chit ananda is life, light, and love. So chit is light. It brings light to things. It shines a light on things. Helps us see. Clarity. Clarity is a good one for that one. Chit gives clarity. Okay, Ananda. Did anybody just feel content? Like there's nothing really wrong. Everything's okay. You did. What's that?
Content's good.
So under Ananda, we can put content. We think of it as bliss. Bliss is a good word, but it's not a jumping up and down. It's a sattvic bliss. So it's we feel contented. We feel at peace again. We feel trusting, maybe. We talked about trust. Anyone else? This is more around the feeling nature. Anybody get a feeling, love, self-love, self-care? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Goodness, that's a good one. Sukha. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Right, you're experiencing the embodiment of the consciousness, the embodiment of awareness. That is so integrated in this moment in you, right? What Abraham Maslow called self-actualization, which is really what enlightenment is. I mean, a great definition of enlightenment is a realization of our true nature. And your realization of your true nature has told you also what it is you're going to do. And there's such a yes to that, that your nervous system is sending warm energy and electricity up your spine, and it feels good. So electricity, prana, sat, warmth is the chit, the fire, the tejas. And it's all come as one. It's just different adjectives for the one thing, the force, the good feeling. That's the ojas pratyananda. That's beautiful. That's a great story, a great telling, a great sharing of really what we're here to do today. It's like before you even got here, Dharma kicked in. But then you'd be so content. What a difference. What difference would it make? Yeah, so what we need to be aware of is it Ananda or is it Kapha? And so... Yeah, so bring in more of the sat and the chit, which is the prana and the tejas. Maybe you could also, while you're doing mala, do some bhastrika breathing. Maybe you could have a candle and you focus on the candle for mantra. Going for a run, going for a hike. Wake up first thing and move. Get up earlier than you get up. Go, run. Make your meditation on the candle. Yeah. Yeah, then you can spend the next 6 hours doing malas. One of my teachers, and one of my most important teachers, used to say, we need everything. We need the prana, the tejas, the ojas. He said, we need the jnana yoga, we need the bhakti yoga. If you have too much jnana, which is the svadhyaya, the contemplation of the self, the meditation, the I am meditation, meditating on the pure awareness that I am. If we just have that, we're going to become like space itself, which is vast and expansive, but it's also cold and a bit sterile. And if we just do the bhakti, which is all the devotion and the singing and the chanting and the love, 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 then we're going to become a little bit maybe stagnant, a little bit overly emotionally, whatever. So he would say the two come together in a really perfect balance. It's basically like everything within us is fire and water. All of our gastric juices, our brain, everything is fire and water. And then it moves because of prana. And so we always need to have those three things moving and in balance. So yeah, it's a good question. We do need them. So the malas is great. That's your bhakti yoga. But do some jnana yoga. Do some prana yoga. Move it. Some people are only doing the yoga. They're go, 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 go. And then you can see them burn out. You can see them collapse. It's too much of one thing. Actually, when we do the meditation on pure awareness, there's two things you can pay attention to. One is the tendencies that you have might speak to your dosha, what your Ayurvedic dosha constitution is. But typically what happens is when you go to the place of pure awareness, usually you get what you need at the time. This is so cool. It's like the way nature gives us exactly the foods we need to balance her weather in any given season. So in summer, it's hot, she gives us cooling foods. In autumn, it starts to get cold, and she gives us foods that have to be cooked, like grains, or we ferment, so we get the sour, right? Spring, we need to lighten up in the spring, and so we get lots of greens and lots of pungent foods, etc. And your pure awareness is the same, because it's nature, right? Nature is wise, and so it will give you, it's very balancing. It will give you exactly what you need. You may have needed today to feel more vast. I don't know. I don't know what you're living through. But some people will go there and we'll sit together and they'll say, oh, it makes me feel so warm. It's so soft. It's so cuddly. It's so reassuring. And they needed to feel that today. It's a really good healing medicine. Okay? But let's do this as an exercise to get our dharma. Okay? So now that we've got a few words for Sat Chit Ananda, Sandra is going to read out the words slowly. We're going to each close our eyes and we're going to notice anything that the body responds to. So it might be a tickle, it might be a little shiver up your spine, it might be a jolt, it might be a something in your mind, it might be something that feels warm and peaceful or inspiring or light, it might feel like it causes you to breathe better. But you're just going to notice, okay? We're going to, no need to capture the word, we're going to do it again and then write them down. So first we're just going to do them and just have a noticing of the sensations in your body as we say these words out loud. And remember, these are words that describe your true nature. But one or two or three of these words are going to be more specifically describing your particular true nature. Okay, here we go.
Whole. Calm. Satiated. Peace. Weightless. Free. Expansive. Light. Buoyant. Pure. Awareness. Clarity. Light, truth, content, bliss, trust, radiance, love, goodness, warmth.
More, there's life, breath, creativity, curious, joy, kind. Sweet, passionate, strong, adventurous, brave. Thank you. Okay, good.
I forgot happy.
Happy?
It's not written down, but that's one of
them. Happy we should put. Okay. Do you have paper and pen? Okay. If you don't, you can just etch it in your mind. We're going to read them again, and you can write down either the words that we read that speak to you, or other words that come to you. Other words might arise for you. So, yeah, thank you. Starting with happy.
Happy. Whole. Calm. Satiated. Content, bliss, trust, radiance, love, goodness, warmth.
Creative, curious, passionate, brave, adventurous, strong, vibrant. Open, reflective, joy, okay, so now write I am, we just did the meditation, I am, write that. Those two words, or think them in your head, see them in your mind's eye. And after I am, write a word, pick a word, any of the words. And then if that's not enough, do another sentence, I am, and fill in the blank. And keep doing that until you feel you've exhausted all the aspects of your being. Maybe it's one, maybe it's five, whatever it is, I am. Okay, now we're going to turn it into one sentence, and the sentence needs to have I, am, and a noun. So it's I am joy, creativity, love, versus I am creative. I am creativity, so that you are the absolute. Now, you might say, oh, I can't just narrow it down to one thing, so it might be I am joyful creativity. So there can be an adjective that defines it, but there's got to be the noun, okay? So the noun is your essence, and then there can be a way that it expresses. I am loving creativity, or I am loving joy. I am vast joy. Right? I am purity. I am adventurous purity. Okay? So find the noun, and if you want, you can add one or two or three adjectives if you can't just do three words. But let's get one sentence. want to share what you got. Michael.
I am radiant peace.
That's so perfect. I am radiant peace. Would you mind writing some of these down? I don't know where you're going to. I guess underneath some of the blue this room. Thank you. If you'll just draw a line, so it becomes its own. We'll just have room for some of them, but I am radiant peace. I like that. Anyone else?
I am kind truth.
I love it. I am kind truth. Truth is a good one. Beautiful. Anything else? Anyone else? Yeah.
I'm openly grounded.
Nice. I'm openly grounded. Gosh, I can see that visual. I'm openly grounded. Nice. Like that. Anyone else? Yeah, let's go here.
I am brave, resilient, freedom.
Wow, if you had a daughter, wouldn't you wish that for her?
Yes.
Yeah. Freedom. Brave, resilient, freedom. Yeah. Yeah. Johanna?
I am passionately brave with a resilient joy.
Amazing. So similar in its own, in yet its own thing. I am passionate. Do we need to repeat that? Passionately brave, resiliently,
with a resilient joy.
With a resilient joy. Nice. So can you feel like, are you doing what I'm doing? Like I'm feeling these ones. When you feel it, do you feel how powerful it is? Openly grounded? Like, wow. So it's such a, its own power. Like you know that about yourself and that will write its own script. The story is now written. So powerful. Huh? It's got a force to it. Okay, one more. Anyone else? Yeah.
I'm a powerful creator.
Okay, good. So that's beautiful because every spiritual tradition teaches us that we are made in the image and the likeness of the Creator. So what is Satchitananda but the creative source and the creative intelligence that makes us and that made us in the image and likeness and planted itself within us. So it's remembering, I am my source, I like it. Anyone else? Okay. Here's the challenge. This is gonna be fun. Can we open the back? What we're going to do before you open the back? Because is anyone here not a yoga student or teacher? Okay. I'm going to invite you to do a pose that expresses that essence. Because what is yoga asana if it isn't that? Yoga asana is a series of poses that's helping us ground back into our essence and express our essence. If I am Satchitananda, I might be triangle pose, because I'm the threefold aspect of the, right? If I am, I don't know, quiet source or the ground of all being, I might go into child's pose. And what I would do to express these absolute, these essences, is different from what someone else might do too. So it's going to be up to you. But I'm going to invite you to go and do, it can be a, maybe you decide Surya Namaskar is your thing. Maybe it's a flow. I'm gonna give you about 10, 15 minutes to play with some yoga asana that expresses this essence that you are, okay? And I think we have bolsters, we have mats, we have the floor itself is like a big mat. We can go outside. You can go outside, you can go for a walk instead. You know, you can go for a run because for some people that's yoga, right? Okay, so let's meet back here. It's 3:50-ish. Let's also use the time to take a break, so let's meet back here about 4:05. Nothing more beautiful than seeing people in their practice, like really in that sacred space. Okay, good. Thank you. How did that feel? Like then you found your essence, and now you're expressing your essence. And that's it. That's all that life is. That's what it is, you know, to be a yogi. And Michael was doing this, like, standing with his legs together, but so strong. Like, it was such a visual of radiant peace. It was so powerful, you know? How did it feel? So I really believe that the human body was built, was designed to express the Satchitananda, to express the true self, to express the true nature. I mean, if you look at the back, the shoulder blades are like wings. The sacrum is like wings. The thymus and the thyroid are like wings. Everything's like wings. It's like we've got these wings inside of us, and we're supposed to be free and expansive and yet grounded. Like from the hips down, it's like the vessel, like the cup, you know, that gets filled with spirit, and we just ground it so that we're able to ground that light, that life, that love. Okay. So now we're going to do one more thing, and then we're going to have a little bit of another exercise. This time I want to come back to the field of pure awareness. No right or wrong, but let's go back into it. Now we're going to, let's just go do it, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do as we do it. So getting comfortable, feeling grounded, eyes closed, noticing sounds, noticing your breath, noticing the circulation of life force throughout your body. Noticing the pulse of life and noticing where you can feel it and sense it. Where in your body can you feel the pulse of life? Maybe in your feet, back of your legs, hands, upper back, neck, eyes, forehead, of course in your heart. And then bring your awareness to pure awareness. If you want to, you can use the words I am. You can go between the words and into the gap between the words. Or because we just did it, you might be able to just go straight there. Finding that field of pure awareness. And remembering that this is your essential nature. Ask the field of pure awareness, who am I? Once you get an answer, then ask, how do I express that every day in all ways? Om namo gurudev namo. Om namo gurudev namo. Om namo gurudev namo. Okay. So we're going to now, we've got three things we've got. The I am statement, your essence described as an I am. We've got yoga poses that help you embody that, to really embody and bring into the world, into form, that essence. And now we've got another layer, which is, how does that flow, right? So we say light is a photon, it's a particle, and it's a wave. So now you got your particle, and you got your wave. You know what I mean? You got your essence, you got your noun, and you got your verb. So let's get into groups of threes, and I think the easiest thing is to go, you guys are a three, and you guys are a three, and you look like a three, and just find your nearest partners. Lindsay, you might have to come be with me. And you can go outside, you can go over there. We're going to take 20 whole minutes, 15 minutes, and then we'll come back into a circle. And you're going to take a moment to share I am statement, the essence, why you chose those yoga poses, and besides yoga, how this expresses how you live your essence. Okay? You get to say whatever you want to say because it's your life, but that's basically the idea, to get together and share. I know, I teach yoga, and especially like the more I was teaching, the more I was like, who am I to say what you should do? You do what you want to do. But that's some guidance, okay? And then share. So each person gets to speak. Those of you who are listening, see if you can listen with that principle of Satchitananda. Really, like, hear them. Really see them. Really, you know, you've got to be really, really quiet and really engaged. And really get a sense that, in a way that you're really reflecting back to them who they really are. And I want to invite you, and even though you've heard me say this, it's going to work. I want to invite you to say back to them, wow, that's true, you really are that. Find your own way to say it, make it real and authentic, but it's going to feel really good for the person to know that the essence that they've just discovered about themselves has already been obvious to everybody else. Right? We've known that all along. Great, you know, I'm glad to hear that you've got it now too. We'll take about 15 minutes. It's 4:15. No, it's 4:15. So we'll see you back here at 4:30. Okay? Good. In the face. Yeah. So I think that the closer we get to truth and the more we practice, like I think what we're saying is I am willingly signing up to channel this divine experience or this divine expression. Or what gives me joy is creating in the kitchen, in the garden, with my camera, with my, you know? Can you say something like that? Would that make it easier? Okay. Okay. Think of it as channeling, because it's conceited. So you know about the four aspects of the mind? There's manas, buddhi, ahamkara, and chit. It's conceited if it's ahamkara. If it's I am, which is part of the mind, which is valid, but if the I am over-identifies with the good, the soul, or the spirit, or the truth that is in everybody, I mean, if I'm saying, like, I'm so creative, I'm great, you're not, that's conceited. But if I'm saying everyone has creative powers, and everyone has all these other amazing powers, the one that I'm really enjoying playing with right now is this one. That makes me feel really alive. That way of saying it is saying, aham brahmasmi, I and the divine are one. And when I feel that, wow, it lights me up. You know, like, look at what Michael said earlier. Like, do we think he's conceited for saying that? But he was, like, standing in it. And, you know, even you earlier, what were you saying? You were saying something earlier.
Powerful creator. I was telling you that because I need to hear that. I need to be reminded.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time I've ever even uttered anything like that out loud.
Right. So did we think that, because that was a pretty conceited thing to say, wouldn't you say, everybody?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It did not sound conceited to me. It didn't. Did it sound conceited? No, it sounded like what you were saying was you were calling on the forces of the powerful creator and calling that, and don't we all need that? And don't we all want to see that in you, basically? Or in a woman, or in anybody, right? Sounds like truth. So say it because it sounds like truth. Yeah, say it because it sounds like truth. And because if you're going to stand on a paddleboard and teach SUP, then people want to take a class with you, not just because they want to be on the water and doing yoga, because they want to find in themselves what you've found in you. So stand in it. Yeah. Yeah. That's your dharma. Yeah. Yeah, that is it. But thank you for speaking to what everybody feels too. That's the karma. I mean, right, it's either karma or it's dharma. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Did you hear what she just said? Did that sound conceited?
No.
Wow, you just said, I have that backbone. So something happened that was probably a deep wound. I think that's what we all are hearing and what you're saying. But you're like strong and you got a big backbone and you're like, you're on it. It's beautiful. Yeah, that's inspiring. I can see that. That's like moths to the light. Beautiful. Yeah. Integrity. Another great word. Yeah, we should have written that one down. Integrity, someone you can trust. Beautiful. Nice, thank you. So one of the things that I wrote on the bottom of the karma side of this is when you think about karma, what was Mother Teresa's karma? What was Buddha's karma? What was Jesus Christ's karma? What was, you know, what's the karma of a child who's six who comes down with leukemia, right? How is that karma? And are they saying, oh my God, I keep getting hung on a cross, you know? Or I keep, you know, like, or I keep having to go, like, feed people, you know? Whatever they... I can't even imagine, but whatever it is, it's like when you look at that, like these people who can be really challenged and yet rise above to become saints and sages and heroes for all time. That's how I want you to look at your karma. Maybe this is my call to greatness. That's been your call to greatness. And you're shifting a mindset. Because that's what I say a lot when I have sessions with people with Jyotish. It's like, you had an experience, you are not that experience, right? And that's the hard thing for us to learn. Yeah, of course we know that intellectually, but how do we get beyond it? So keep, the way we keep doing it is we keep grounding into Dharma, grounding into the I am. I am truth, I am strong, I am resilient, I am curious. And the second thing I would say is follow your deepest curiosity. I was talking about somebody that I really admire, Michael Pollan. Is that his name? Yeah. So I was talking about him the other day. A friend of mine knew him, knows him. And she said, you know what's cool about him? She said, before he became who he is now, he was just a writer who followed his deepest curiosity. And I won't ever forget that line. He became somebody who's not just great and successful, but in many ways changing a landscape. And he's doing it because he simply followed his deepest curiosity. It's like Joseph Campbell says, to follow your deepest, your bliss. Sometimes we don't know what that means, and sometimes we gotta pay the bills. Sometimes we have to stop doing the malas and get up and go for a run. But if you're really living your dharma, you can bring it into your corporate job, your boring job, your whatever it is that you do to make your living. You can bring it in. If your dharma is kindness, if your dharma is resilience, if your dharma is love, if your dharma is creativity or joy, you can bring it to everything you do. And then you will transform your life, and before you know it, everything you do will be something you love. It just happens. Because remember when you were telling the stories of who you are? We could feel the electricity of it. It's a force. It's a power. It shakes the rafters of the universe. Palms to your heart center. Honoring that beloved within. Committing and vowing here and now to always remember and never forget the truth of what is within you. And that from this day forward, you will live your dharma, the truth of who you are, because the whole world needs you to rise up and be you, so they can rise up and be them. There's a reason your soul came alive. I hope you'll always remember that. You were born on purpose. You were born to be the fullest expression of life, light, and love. And to that in you I bow.